Good evening. If we could all turn to Ruth 1, we'll read Ruth 1, 1 to 22. Ruth 1, 1 to 22. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, and there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraites in Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left, and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. And the name of the one was Orpha, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelt about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of their two sons and her husband. And she rose with her daughter-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, Go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that we may find rest in each of you in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, Surely we will return with thee unto the people. And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? And there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpha kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from the following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou largest, I will large. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. And the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught. But death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, and that all the city was moved about them, they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very, very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning a barley harvest. Ruth has actually been one of my favorite books. It's such a beautiful picture of Ruth being outside the church and coming in the church and being incorporated in the Jews later on. It also really strikes me, not being part of a brethren church, being outside and coming in, and how we were welcome. It really touches my heart reading about Ruth. One of my favorite verses in this is 16, when Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after me. For whether thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried." To me, that's such a beautiful picture. Ruth truly meant that. Ruth did that. It always reminds me when I made a promise and baptized, when I was baptized, how many times do I fail when they ask me the questions or when the deacons come and visit me? Am I very truthful when I say I'm at peace with the church and peace with our members? Ruth made a promise here and she was faithful. I hope that I can be as faithful as Ruth is. With these words on our mind, let's bow for prayer.
Good evening. We also greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has all power in heaven and in earth. And having other obligations this morning, we weren't here, but I was glad live stream was working this morning, and I was blessed to listen to Brother Duane this afternoon. And as I understand, he said he didn't get very far. I would have been more than happy to let him continue to share tonight, and I'm sure the others would be for next Sunday as well. If it takes that long, so be it, but we would be richly fed and well blessed. Tonight, I want to look at the subject of strangers and sojourners. Bill Croder relates that after a long journey from Hong Kong, which involved a 7-hour layover compounded by a 3-hour delay, he finally arrived in Chicago. He missed the last flight to Grand Rapids, his final destination. The airline arranged hotel rooms for them. He says they took a short shuttle for a short night's rest. It must have been a pretty sorry sight to the hotel guest or to the hotel staff. He said one of them looked at us and just shook his head and said, "Distressed travelers." He said, "I guess in the travel industry that might be a common term, but to me," he said, "it was new, and it felt appropriate after 2 hard days of travel. The experience," he said, "was something of a metaphor for life. We are pilgrims in this world, traveling to a heavenly home, which is beyond description. Along the way, however, the cares and burdens of the journey can rob us of our joy and hope, and we become distressed, like distressed travelers, in desperate need of encouragement and refreshment. The Lord calls to every weary pilgrim, 'Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my burden is easy. And you will find rest for your souls.' Jesus said that the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." That certainly exemplifies a stranger and a sojourner as he was in the world that he created. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Jesus prayed that in his prayer in John 17. He said, "I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So if we are not of the world, we are strangers in this world. When Abraham's wife died at the age of 127 years, as recorded in Genesis 23, in verse 4, Abraham goes to the sons of Heth and asks for a burying place, to buy a burying plot to bury his wife. And he says this, he says, "I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you that I may bury my dead out of my sight." He says, "I'm a stranger and a sojourner." The faith chapter of the Bible, Hebrews 11, talks about Abraham as a stranger. In verses 8 and 9, it says, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. He sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. In the scripture that our brother read this evening, and I appreciate Brother Nathan's comments in his prayer, from Ruth 1 here, it says, "It came to pass in the days of the judges, when the judges ruled, that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and his wife's name was Naomi, and the two of his sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab, and it says they continued there. This man went to sojourn with his wife and two sons into a strange land." A sojourner is a stranger that dwells in a place temporarily. There was a famine in the homeland of his family, and it seemed that out of concern for his family, he moved his family to Moab with the intent to go back home when things got better there. He moved there as a sojourner. I don't know what we can read into it, but in the end of verse 2, we read that they came into the country of Moab and continued there. It almost seems that there's an indication that they may have gotten a little content there, and that going back home may not have been a priority for them anymore. And I'm not sure it's known how long they were in Moab until Naomi's husband Elimelech died. Verse 3 says she was left of her two sons who were apparently not married at the time of their father's death. And verse 4 then says that the sons took wives of the women of Moab. According to chapter 4, verse 10, Mahlon married Ruth and Chilion married Orpah. Verse 22 of Ruth 1 emphasizes the fact that Ruth was a Moabitess. They were descendants of Moab, who was born to the oldest daughter of Lot from an incestuous relationship with her father. You can read about that in Genesis 19. It says that both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. The people dwelt in the land of Moab, which is about 50 miles southeast of Bethlehem. The Moabites worshipped Chemosh and Baal Peor, according to Numbers 25. It says there that Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. This is a people that intermarried, or the Israelites intermarried with the daughters of Moab. It was a people that induced the Israelites to join in their sacrifices to their gods, and it caused the Lord to be very angry with them. It's also talked about again in Judges 10. It says there that the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth and the gods of Syria and the gods of Zidon and the gods of Moab and the gods of the children of Ammon. Ammon was the other child to the other daughter of Lot that was born to the incestuous relationship. And the gods of the Philistines, and forsook the Lord and served not him, and the anger of the Lord waxed hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the children of Ammon. The king of Moab at one time sacrificed his son. 2 Kings 3, it says, when the king of Moab saw he was in battle, and he saw the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even unto the king of Edom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead. It was his prince's son, and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. They sacrificed their children to the gods of the land. So they were an ungodly people, and Ruth was a descendant of the relationship of Lot and his daughter and their people, and that people. And she also became the great-grandmother of David, and also the ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Genesis 12, there was a promise given to Abraham, and it held in Ruth's day, and it still holds in our day. It says there that the Lord is making his promise to Abraham. He says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and bless him that curse, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. When Ruth chose to follow her mother-in-law's God to be her God, and her mother-in-law's people to be her people, she was blessed for it, according to that promise, I believe. Just some other interesting facts about the historical background of Ruth. Chapter 1 says that it was in the days that the judges ruled. That was a period of time between that covered more than 300 years, from 1390 to the rise of Saul in 1043 BC. Israel during that time was marked by idolatry, immorality, anarchy, as a nation forgot God. And it just sounds like a repeat of our day, doesn't it? The last verse in Judges describes the period. It says there in Judges 21:25, in those days there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. It's a picture of where this country is at today, I believe. The writing also recognizes that during that chaotic time in Israel, that faith in the true God could still be found. Naomi was a woman of deep faith in the true God of Israel. After her husband Elimelech died, and she lost both of her sons, verse 5 says, Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. She had no family in the land of Moab, other than two Moabitish daughter-in-laws. And then she turned her heart toward home and proposed to return back to Judah. She arose with her daughter-in-laws, verse 6 says, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So I believe the three of them left Moab and started the journey back to Naomi's homeland of Judah. Probably a dangerous journey for these women to make alone. And on the way, Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return each of you to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. Apparently, they were both well-liked and treated their husbands well and their mother-in-law. And I think Naomi considers their future and compels them to return to their home country, to their family. And that dialogue continues for a few verses there. And then in verse 14, we see the heart of each of these women. It says there that they both wept with her. Orpha, as hard as it seemed to be for her, in her heart, I think, was looking out for herself and returned to her homeland. But Ruth, it says, Ruth clave unto Naomi, even as Naomi insisted that she go back to her homeland, to her people, and to her gods. Verse 15, she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is going back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And then Ruth makes a statement that has become monumental down through the ages of time and recorded in Scripture, as Brother Nathan referred to, entreat me not to leave thee, nor or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do also to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Then the next verse says, when she saw, speaking of Naomi, saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, she left speaking unto her. That phrase, steadfastly minded, means that she was determined. She was confirmed to a purpose, that she would stay with her. She was resolved to go with her mother-in-law no matter what. And then Naomi was satisfied that Ruth was in it for real. Isn't that the kind of determination that each one of us as followers of Jesus Christ need to have? Isn't that what kind of determination the Lord wants us to have and calls for us to have in Scripture as his followers? The songwriter says, tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. You know, we have trials and troubles in this life. Are those trials to try our faith, to see whether we will turn back toward Moab, or whether we'll persevere and purpose and confirm in our hearts that we will serve the Lord no matter what. Ruth realized that Moab had nothing to offer. There was nothing there for her to go back to, really. She did leave family. She left all she had there. Apparently, probably had friends, family, and other things there, but she left that all behind because she realized that the God of her mother-in-law was a true God, and she was going to worship and serve him no matter what. Jesus said in Luke 14:33, "Likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." That's a pretty sobering thought, and we need to take it to heart. Ruth was set to worship the true God of her faithful mother-in-law. In verse 19, we find that they went until they came to Bethlehem, and it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. They said, "Is this Naomi?" Their return caused quite a stir in Bethlehem. And then Naomi speaks up in verses 20 and 21, and she says, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" It seems here, and we know, that even the faithful can become discouraged at times. Mara means bitter. "The Lord," she said, "hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me." She was going through a tremendous trial in her life. She lost her husband. She lost her two sons. And it seemed like the world was against her. But what she didn't realize, or what she wasn't aware of at that time, was that while her present situation was not pleasant, while it was a bitter experience that she was going through, a bitter trial, the outworking of God's sovereign plan would result in blessing and joy to her and to Ruth in the future, and to all people through Jesus Christ who came through Ruth from the lineage of Boaz. And the fact that their names would be recorded in the pages of Scripture forever. Verse 22 says that Naomi returned with Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came into Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. Brother Duane shared about going back into the hospital this morning, and it was disappointment, but yet there was a purpose. Why did they return back to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest? You Bible readers know the story. God's hand was at work. He was at work then. He's still at work today. It's great to hear that God is at work, and what an encouraging testimony to hear that. We know that. We know from each one of our lives, we can see God's hand at work in different ways. But the Lord was looking out for Naomi, put a faithful daughter-in-law in her life to give her comfort, encouragement, companionship. Ruth helped to gather food and to take care of her mother-in-law. She was now a sojourner. Ruth was a stranger in a strange land. I'd like to think of her as a woman with a graceful countenance, and a person that I like to call a real go-getter. You know the story, you Bible readers know the story of how she went out and gathered grain, brought it in, how her mother-in-law gave her advice to go and lay at the feet of Boaz, and how that all came together. But she respected and listened to the advice of a godly and faithful mother-in-law. And I had to think, you know, Naomi told the girls to go back. She was looking for their future. Age brings change and uncertainty, and many times means transition from a familiar past to an uncertain future. It can mean moving from a family home to a smaller place, a place that's unfamiliar, to a family member's home, to a retirement village, or even into a nursing home. Some continue traveling those roads, not sure where they're going to end up. At 75 years old, Abraham was called by God to leave his home country and his people and move on at the direction of the Lord. And he obeyed. Hebrews 11:8 says he went out not knowing whither he went, but it was by faith that he traveled. And it's by faith that we sojourn as we travel through this earth. It's by faith that we know our safekeeping is not in the place where we live, where we actually dwell, but in God himself. Psalm 91, 1 and 2 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." We have with his brother Steve tonight, and he has testified that doesn't matter where you live, you trust in God and in Him. It's under His wings that we need to trust. We trust in the Most High, in His habitation. Ruth left her homeland to sojourn in another land. She realized that the true and living God would keep her under His wings. She had no desire to turn back to Moab. She left that world behind her, and she listened to the advice of a godly mother-in-law. You know the account of how it all came together. She ended up marrying Boaz and having a son. And I'm sure you Bible readers know, but it's always interesting when you look into scriptures that their neighbors actually named their son. In Ruth 4:17 it says, "And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." And as an older, faithful woman, and I look at this as an older, faithful sister in the church, she's blessed for her faithfulness. In Ruth 4:14-15, it says, "And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which has not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him." To the best of my knowledge, I don't know that we read Orpah's name again in Scripture after she returns back to Moab. I'm sure that Naomi left an impression on her and that she knew the God of Israel before she turned back. But Ruth's the one that realized that Moab had nothing to offer. Galatians 4:9 says, "But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?" There's nothing in Moab or in this world to go back for. There's nothing here for lasting peace. There's nothing permanent. But we can find blessing, peace, security, and refuge and protection in trusting the Lord. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We're not alone as we travel through this world. He said in Matthew 28:20, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." It's one of the I ams of Jesus. He didn't say, "I will be with you," or, "If you call on me, I'll be there." He said, "I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Our Lord is there every step of the way. And for those of us who were born into Christian homes, there were those that blazed the trail before us. Our foreparents, our fathers and mothers. Psalm 39:12 says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee and a sojourner, as all my fathers were." Also, 1 Chronicles 29:15 says, "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." Often, on one of the farms there's a graveyard. I often drive by there. I guess I go by it every day. Don't think of it every day, but I often think of the folks that are laying in that graveyard. They lived their lives. They made their impression, and they're gone. And that'll be our lot soon if the Lord don't come before we pass on. And the little saying is so true. Our days on earth will soon be passed, and only what's done for the Lord will last. 1 Peter 1 says, starting in verse 13, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be wrought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. As we journey through this life, we need to keep focused on the work that the Lord has called us to do. Remember that we are truly strangers and pilgrims and sojourners in this world. It's like the songwriter wrote, This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Larry, for reminding us that we are travelers. We're strangers. Thought came to my mind, how often do I get bogged down in the things of life, thinking I'm going to be here for a long time? We're not going to be here long. We're passing through. We're sojourners here for a little while. We're travelers. What do travelers do? They don't stay in one place very long. They're moving on. Are we moving towards God? Are we moving in the direction that when He comes again, we're ready to go? Or when He calls our name, are we ready to go? I'm going to just read for the closing prayer. Jude, the last two verses in Jude. It's just a reminder for us to be ready, to be moving on, to keep us from falling, to keep us from getting bogged down. So would you please stand at this time, those that are able, and I'm going to read that, the last two verses there is a prayer.